Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the book of the Proverbs and chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Chapter 10 marks the beginning of the second section of the book of Proverbs. The first section is the introductory section, the first nine chapters. And then in chapter 10 we begin the collection of the Proverbs of Solomon that runs on through to chapter 22 and verse 16. So Proverbs chapter 10, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is in the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, the heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come for the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inherit the earth, will not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. And may God bless the reading of his holy word. We enter here into this new section of the book of Proverbs, and we see that the general character of the book, most of the book, is illustrated by this chapter. It's a series of short proverbs, short sayings. And from verse 1 of chapter 10 through to the end of chapter 15, these are mostly antithetical, that is to say that they are this but that. They are proverbs in which you have a contrast between the first part and the second part. There are of course exceptions, but essentially the idea here is that of wisdom versus folly. The contrast of wisdom and folly. Now, it's often quite difficult to see structure in these chapter of Proverbs. There is a loose structure, we may say, but it is a loose one. That there is in general, this great contrast here in this chapter between those who follow the way of foolishness and those who follow the way of wisdom. That folly, of course, is not simply a matter of being ignorant, it is a matter of being morally lacking. Wisdom versus folly, righteousness versus sin. It is very largely a chapter about character. Different kinds of people. And so it starts off with verse 1, and after the simple introductory statement that this is a collection of the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. It begins with that fundamental relationship into which people are born, the family relationship. And that within the family, it is the parents who teach, who should bring up the children. Even when we have a situation as we have in this country with a state education, nevertheless the teacher is in loco parentis, in the place of the parents, and the parents are legally as well as morally responsible for the education of their children. But of course not all children seek to learn, not all children profit by this. And so we have the contrast between the wise son and the foolish son. And the wise son makes his father glad, whereas the foolish son makes his mother sad. Why is it that here we have, in the positive side, we have the father being glad? Well, of course, the father is the head of the household, the head of the family. He is the one who the wise son is listening to. He has the primary responsibility for teaching. That, of course, doesn't mean that the mother doesn't teach. Of course she does. But then, of course, the mother is the one who feels deeply if the son does not go the way that he ought to. He breaks his mother's heart if he is foolish and goes in that way of wickedness. And we see here it all begins in the home. It begins with the family. And one of the reasons why people go astray, verse 2, is that they seek ill-gotten gain, treasures of wickedness. That people seek to be rich sometimes without thinking about the way in which they accomplish it. There are those who set out and all they want to do is to be rich and they don't really care how. There is much that Proverbs says, and you must remember that Proverbs is a very practical book. Much it says about attitudes to money and how people use money and how people behave. Again, we remember the Old Testament setting. So, for example, we have verse 5, he who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. This is an agricultural society. As I was on holidays, had a few days down in Suffolk, rural Suffolk, and you see the combine harvesters at work. In fact, on my way out this evening, I found myself behind a combine harvester in Stoke-on-Trent of all places. A bit strange, but there we have combine harvesters out in the fields. And indeed, you would think, well, the man, the farmer who has his grain growing and doesn't go out and harvest it is an idiot. He who gathers in summer, that is, he who harvests when the harvest is ready, who makes hay when the sun shines, to use one of our proverbs, is wise. He who sleeps in harvest, he who, in other words, doesn't make hay when the sun shines, he who lets the harvest go on and fail, causes shame to his family, because again we have this agricultural society, the extended family, and of course we then have to apply these things, these principles, to our society where most people are not involved in agriculture. But the point here is a very simple one. It is that the one who is wise takes the opportunities that exist, but also the one who is wise looks to opportunities that are right and good. Treasures of wickedness or ill-gotten gains, as we would say in English, profit nothing. The man who gets rich by wickedness congratulates himself on his profit he has made. But the wise man, King Solomon, says these things actually profit nothing. Think in terms of a couple of biblical characters. Think of Achan, the man who in the entry into Canaan, the conquest of Canaan, when the city of Ai was given up, was taken by God's people and all the contents were dedicated to the law. The city of Jericho is given up, all the contents dedicated to the Lord. He took gold and he took a Babylonian garment. And what did it profit him? Well, God exposed him and he and his whole family were executed for his offence. Or again, think of Judas, who sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. What did Judas ultimately profit? Well, nothing. Because he had not, it seems, fully understood what would happen. And filled with remorse, he cast the money back and threw himself into despair and committed suicide. Or think again of King Ahab and how he took Naboth's vineyard. And what happened to him? Did it profit him in the end? No, he was killed and his whole line eventually wiped out by judgment. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Those things that are gained by wickedness ultimately become destructive. But righteousness, that is, we are to understand the book of Proverbs, righteousness is about right living, doing the right thing. We're not talking here about so much justification as we are about conduct. Right living delivers from death. Because the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. Of course, the righteous are those who walk in God's ways, those who fear the Lord. And those who fear the Lord, well, as we sang in that hymn, fear him, you saints, and you will then have nothing else to fear. Those who reverence God, those who fear God, they are secure. Now, indeed, the Lord's people often do struggle. They are a tried and tested people. And yet, God keeps his people to the end. But he casts away the desire of the wicked. The wicked perish. The wicked cannot succeed. Now one element of the foolish mindset is that desire for ill-gotten gains, easy money. Another part of the wicked mindset is laziness. He who has a slack hand becomes poor. The Bible does not say he who is poor is so because he is lazy. But the Bible does say he who is lazy becomes poor. There are those who are poor because they are born into poverty. Indeed, in the ancient Near East, as in many parts of the world today, the majority of people were subsistence farmers. That's the picture we have in verse 15. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. There are some people who are rich. There are other people who are poor. It's simply a matter of fact. There's the rich and the poor. And the scripture never says that the only reason people are poor is because they are lazy. But it does say that lazy people become poor. He who has a slack hand becomes poor. He who gathers in summer is the diligent one, the one who, scripture says, whatever you find, your right hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Whatever work the Lord gives his people, that is a work that we are to do, whatever work we have in our various callings. But blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. This image of violence covering the mouth is very much what we have with Haman in Esther, that when he was taken away to be executed, they covered his mouth so he couldn't speak. He was carried off. Violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The wicked, in the end, reap what they have sowed. It's important, of course, to emphasize that Proverbs is a matter of general principle. and observation. These are not promises. These are not prophecies. These are general observations. But because we live in God's world, God has made a moral universe, then to do what is right is the way that leads to blessing and to grace. The memory of the righteous is blessed. People remember those who do good works and they give thanks for them. People give thanks, for example, for William Wilberforce and the abolition of slavery. We give thanks, rightly give thanks, for those who have done good works. You think of Lord Shaftesbury and the good works that he did for so many people. The memory of the righteous is blessed, those who do what is right. But the name of the wicked will rot. If the wicked are remembered at all, they are remembered as, for example, a man like Adolf Hitler is remembered. He is remembered with cursing and execration. He is remembered as one whose memory is eternally damned. The name of the wicked will rot. If they are remembered at all, they are remembered as wicked and evil, as people who are a warning perhaps to society. Wisdom, again, in terms of character, the wise in heart will receive commands. Wise people are humble people. Wise people, when somebody says, do this, when someone instructs them, they will listen and they will do as they are instructed. A prating fool, a man who knows everything, he will fall, he will be destroyed. Those who don't listen, but only talk. The prating fool, he who walks with integrity. Integrity is a marvellous thing. Integrity, a man who does what is right in all his works, he walks securely. He walks with integrity, therefore his path is a nice, secure roadway. You picture a good, well-built pavement walking along and all is secure, but he who perverts his ways is like a man who is walking on a wobbly, shaky trestle bridge made of rotten timber. And he, in his twisted ways, he will soon reveal himself and he will become known. Now, Proverbs have mentioned those who talk too much, verse 8, but also it mentions verse 10, both those who don't talk at all. He who winks with the eye. Now, the idea here is the man who winks maliciously, who with his face makes expressions and indications. But he doesn't talk, but his face does the talking for him, and he causes trouble. He's a troublemaker who is stirring things up. He winks as if to say, oh well, you know what these people are like. He causes trouble. But again, the prating fool, the man who talks too much, falls. But the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. This imagery of a well of life, of course, is one that Christ picks up on. That he is the one who gives a well of life within. John chapter 4, we have that famous account of the woman at the well in Samaria. That woman who had had a pretty dreadful life in many ways. John chapter 4 and verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And again, whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Christ is the one who gives his people the water of life. His mouth, his words are words of life, as the disciples confessed. You have the words of eternal, everlasting life. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. It imparts blessing and good, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The wicked is dragged away to destruction, silenced for his wicked words. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. hatred wants violence, wants conflict, wants destruction. But love covers all sins. We find versions of this saying in several places in the New Testament. First of all, the Apostle Paul picks up on it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, in that glorious, glorious hymn on love. Love, I'll pick it up in verse 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love endures. And then James, in his, James the brother of the Lord, in his epistle, James chapter 5 and verse 20. James 5 and verse 20. Reading from verse 19, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Love warns. Love seeks to bring people back. Love seeks the restoration of the erring. Love doesn't cast people off. But love instead seeks to deliver people. And Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Now the word for cover here is a word that is used to speak of the atonement. It's a covering up. Modern Jewish men, you'll see them wearing the skull cap, the kippah it's called. And that's the word we have here, to cover over. Love covers all sin. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is lack of him who is devoid of understanding. Derek Kidner, in his commentary, has a wonderful, pithy way of expressing this. He says, a man is either the mouthpiece of God or God's mule. In other words, people either speak words of God, words that speak of God, or the man who is devoid of understanding, he's like a mule, he has to be beaten with a stick to make him go. A rod is the back of him who is devoid of understanding. He will bring himself great pain. Of course, we're talking about a society here where corporal punishment was quite common. Those who disobeyed would be beaten. You sometimes see in old villages, you'll see the stocks off by the side of the church and the whipping post, and the man would be fastened to the post and beaten with many stripes to speak of his wickedness if he had committed certain crimes. And wise people, we're told, verse 14, store up knowledge. But the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Some of the idea here is that the wise listen, but the wicked, the foolish, talk and talk and talk until they bring destruction on themselves. How we use the mouth is very important. We see this in James chapter 3. James chapter 3 from verse 2.
James talks about this on
the... He does, exactly. This, the
dangerous weapon in the world.
Exactly. So James 3 verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Small, of course, in relation to the size of the ship. A big ship has a very large rudder, but it's still a very small part of the ship. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. We've had these recently, a few weeks ago, the awful fires. Just last week I was up in Norfolk visiting my mother. We go to King's Lynn, and as we're going along, just saw a whole area of fields burned, and even both sides of a major A road that the fire had managed to get across the road. And it's amazing, just, and caused perhaps by a single cigarette butt or a glass bottle acting as a magnifying glass. Single spark, and the whole heat goes up. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Speech matters. What we say matters. What we say can either be a great blessing or a great cursing. Wise people store up knowledge. They learn things but don't immediately pass on what they hear. Wise people carefully ask those basic questions. You know, whenever we hear a report about something, the first question, is it true? It's so easy. I mean, social media today is so full of slander. It's so easy to pass something on just because somebody said it without bothering to check even what's the source. Who said it? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it helpful? It's another very important question. Is it helpful? Because there are so many things that can be passed on that are not helpful. Things that feed gossip, for example. Is it helpful? Is it necessary? We carefully consider things. See, wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is mere destruction. The foolish just share whatever they hear. And it's so easy to do that. It's so easy. You hear a report and just pass it on to somebody. I remember an occasion many years ago when someone shared with me fairly gleefully George W. Bush. How did you hear George W. Bush? What George W. Bush said recently? No, I didn't. Not quite sure I like where this is going. Oh, he said. He said he enjoyed his visit to Latin America, and he was thinking of learning Latin so he'd be able to speak with the people when he got there. Did you hear that? I said, I never heard that about George W. Bush. I did have overhear it 10 years ago about Dan Quayle. It's simply a joke told about Dan Quayle. Dan Quayle of Potato Infamy, when he was visiting a schoolhouse, and a child was asked to spell for himself potato correctly, and Quayle took up the chalk and wrote an E on the end. So you haven't got it quite right. Oops. Yes, there's this rumour of this story of them being a plot. You find this again and again. And Mr. Spurgeon comments in one of his books how he had heard that when he was at New Park Street Chapel in London, it was confidently stated that he had slid down the pulpit steps to illustrate the fall of the backslider. So what's so funny about this? Well, the pulpit didn't have a handrail on its steps. But people said, oh, you heard Mr. Spurgeon slid down the banisters. There weren't any banisters to slide down. Again, rumours get reported. But the wise man listens and then checks. And only passes on what he knows to be true and useful. The labour of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. And of course, Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death in the end. And again, you have this is verse 17. Keeping instruction, listening. Wise people are people who learn from other people. Part of the definition of a fool is a fool is someone who doesn't learn from others. A fool thinks he knows it all. The wise man knows that he knows so very, very little. It's so easy today, literally you can just fire the computer of anything on Wikipedia. You've got to be really careful with Wikipedia, because some people have put stuff in there that's not true. I remember some years ago looking up information on a village in Buckinghamshire called Steeple something, and someone had edited it to say that this is, the name has nothing to do with the spire on the village church. His name instead for an obscure Saint Epaul. This, of course, was simply a joke. But if someone passes that information on, but he who keeps instruction is in the way of life. He who refuses correction goes astray. Nobody likes to be told they're wrong. Nobody. Everybody likes to think, well, I'm not wrong, I'm right. But the reality is that we're all capable of making mistakes. We're all capable of misunderstanding. And it is part of wisdom to accept correction, to say, well, this person may very well know better than I do on this subject. There's a kind of funny story that was circulated on the internet a while ago. There was a student in America who was looking for help on a particular subject. And literally the world expert came across on this, it's a scientific subject, came across this request and said, let me make a few suggestions. Well, who do you think you are? Said the student. To which the person replied, I'm the world expert on the subject. Who do you think you are? But a wise man listens. There are, of course, some occasions where you have a catch-22 where both options are bad. Verse 18, whoever hides hatred is lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. On the one hand, you have those who hide their opinion of somebody. There are awful folk out there who pretend to be friends with people they actually despise. And they are liars. On the other hand, there are those who simply spend their time spreading slander, and they are fools, morally lacking. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous, that little part of the body, is choice silver. The heart of the wicked, that which determines the man, is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many. The righteous speak, and they are a blessing. But fools die for lack of wisdom. They have nothing with which to feed themselves. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. This is one of those sayings where we have to take a step back and say, yes, this is the Old Testament. The New Testament, things are slightly different. The Old Testament, you had a land that was God's land. You had a government that was God's government. You had a situation where life in the land was a sign of God's blessing. Where wealth, you think, for example, of Abraham and his wealth. But very often today we find that the Lord's people are the poor people. That the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. Not simply financially, in fact very often, not so much financially as in those true riches that do not pass away. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, the Lord says, where the moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And with that laying up in heaven, he adds no sorrow with it. Much sorrow indeed comes, verse 2, with ill-gotten gain, but no sorrow comes with the Lord's blessing. The fool enjoys evil to do evil like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. And then we see this matter involving how God repays people. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. The wicked has his fears, and his greatest fear is death, which will come upon him, not as death comes upon the believer, as that which the Apostle Paul could, marvellous words he says in Philippians, words that require, I think, such great faith when he speaks and speak of his great faith and the Lord's great grace for him. How it was that he believed, close to death, Philippians chapter 1. And from verse 19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and supply the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation, hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die, he says, is to be with Christ, which is far better. But for the wicked, death is to be taken away from all that he loves, all that he desires. Death is to see an end to all his scheming. And that fear will come upon him. And the desire of the righteous will be granted. What is the desire of the righteous? There are your health and wealth teachers, of course, say, well, you see, if you're one of God's people, whatever you desire will come to you. The desire of the righteous is God himself. It is fellowship with God. It is not to receive a better car, a better home. It is not to receive wealth. The desire of the righteous is to be like God and with God. And indeed, when death comes, the fear of the wicked will come upon him. When Christ comes back, the fear of the wicked will come upon him. When death comes to the believer, the desire of the righteous will be granted. When Christ returns, the desire of the righteous will be granted. It's the same event. But for the wicked, it is to go from where he has his joys and pleasures to everlasting destruction. For the righteous, it is to go from a place where sin vexes us to a place where sin is no more. To a place where we know God somewhat, to know him face to face, to be with Christ, which is far better. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more. But the righteous has an everlasting foundation. It's the same principle that we see in the first Psalm, Psalm 1. Verse 3, speaking of the righteous, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. The whirlwind comes. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, taken away in the judgment of God, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. You have these sayings, some that are scattered through the Proverbs, that don't appear to have very much connection between what came before or what comes after. But so important it is to have, it's almost this, make sure you're paying attention. So you go, why is this here? Well, partly it's to make sure you're paying attention. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. Again, we're dealing here with latter ends. But indeed, the way of the Lord, which is the way of righteousness, the way of wisdom, is strength for the upright. But destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be moved. This world is passing away, the apostle tells us, and all that it desires. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The wicked will not inhabit the earth, no indeed, but the meek will inherit the earth. The Lord's people will inherit the earth. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom and carries on doing so, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. Judgment comes. Again, so much about speech. You know somebody by their speech. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. The wicked, they always drift into talking wickedly. The righteous speak what is right and know what is acceptable. And their words, by their words, they shall be known. words that speak of the Lord, words that glorify God. And so Solomon, as he speaks these words of wisdom, guides us in the way of wisdom and instructs us in the Lord's righteous desires, righteous teachings, instructs us indeed in the way of life in which we should go.